Fashion.
Turn to the left.
Fashion.
Turn to the right.
Fashion.
Fashion?
It's fashion with Penelope Noir.
Morena, Penelope Noir.
Morena, how are you?
I'm well, how are you?
I'm good, thank you.
What are we talking about on fashion today?
Well, last weekend I went to see Beast Wars.
Mean, nice.
So I thought I'd do, I'd start off about some heavy metal fashion.
Excellent.
Because it has got a lot of different phases.
Cool, okay, I'm excited.
I learned a few things, which is pretty cool.
Always good.
So, I mean, traditionally, if we think about it, it's quite male-dominant. You know, it's like jeans,
yep.
Normally black jeans, boots, a battle jacket, which is denim or leather vest or, with patches and that sort of thing, like a lot of band insignia.
Yep.
But I kind of thought I'd go through the origins and how it came into being, almost like the leather kind of side of things.
Okay, yeah, that's really, I've always kind of wondered, how did we get here with this look? In some ways it seems to make sense, but it's got to have an origin story, I'm sure.
Yeah, so like 1969, kind of fashion origins of heavy metal are born out of leather biker subculture. So like Hell's Angels, mm-hmm. things like that. And if you think about it, a lot of the biker patches and things like that look like tattoos. So, yeah. You know. 1976, Steve Harris from Iron Maiden is influenced by the font used on the David Bowie film of, or the poster, movie poster, for The Man Who Fell to Earth. And if you have a look at it, it's like, yeah, that's metal.
That's so interesting, because that's the last place I think I'd expect some sort of like hardcore kind of heavy metal energy to be like, ah, take my reference from a David Bowie movie, you know? That seems very sort of femme glam kind of entrance point.
Yeah. And then, of course, like the Vietnam War was very prominent on people's minds at the time. So 78, there was an adoption of military kind of insignia, bullet belts, which of course kind of came from punk as well. So yeah. There's a bit of a crossover there. People kind of had badges and pins, and the adoption of like the Germanic Iron Cross. Motorhead was one of those bands that kind of did that. And I guess the band that kind of brought leather to the forefront was actually Judas Priest and Rob Halford, who's the lead singer. And they were a band that came from Birmingham, much like, as the same as Black Sabbath, who was traditionally the first kind of heavy metal band.
Got ya.
In 1968, Black Sabbath kind of came from this depressed industrial town. They forged a sound that recalled the clamour of steel mills, that sort of thing. Continued on with Deep Purple, who were from Hertford. But Judas Priest kind of like reinforced it in 1980. They released an album which The Guardian describes as defining heavy metal. It was called British Steel.
British Steel.
But prior to
you
that,
you just hear the clang.
Yeah. In 78, Judas Priest released a song called Hell Bent for Leather. And Rob Halford, the lead singer, came out on stage on a Harley Davidson wearing full leather. And he had, it was actually KK Downing, who was the guitarist in the band. His name was Ken. He was the one that kind of came up with it. And they went down to London, Soho, and went to an S&M and fetish kind of shop.
Oh, yeah.
And then kind of got fully decked out. And over a couple of weeks, this decked out in leather kind of they kind of convinced the other members. Apparently the drummer wasn't so much into it.
come on, it's just some leather, it's all good.
Yeah, and what's quite interesting is, of course, Rob Halford came out later as being gay, and a lot of people think that it was actually that was his influence, but it
came from the like leather daddy sort of scene and stuff. Or yeah
and it might have, but he wasn't actually venting or anything like. He's kind of said that in quite a lot of interviews, that it was actually more about they wanted to have a look on stage really knew that was them.
Yeah.
And they had, for people who don't know, they had like leather gauntlets that had all the spikes on and things like that. And what I didn't know either was that they were kind of like the basis for the film Spinal Tap.
Ah, that makes so much sense, because I was going to say, I'm not a huge heavy metal person. It's not my wheelhouse of music, but when I do think of like the image of it, it is kind of Judas Priest, I think, that I'm thinking of, and also Spinal Tap being one of my cultural reference points there as well. So that kind of makes sense, actually, that is such a visual band that they would have latched onto and kind of used for that.
Yeah, and I guess, like, I'm the same. Like, heavy metal's never been something I've investigated. Mm. I have some really cool friends who have played me a lot and, kind of educated me a little bit, but I don't know heaps about it. But I kind of feel like I want to go down this rabbit hole just because it is quite fascinating. Mm. And it's just... like when you the other subcultures, say like goth and punk and things like that, mm-hmm. You really are wearing your heart on your sleeve. You know, people really see it.
And also once you start to be, the deeper you are in the subculture, the more you're like, oh, well, that's actually this part of it. You know, this little faction here wears this particular look and this little faction here wears this particular look, and you wouldn't be caught dead wearing that thing if you're from this little group. You know, there's so much nuance, whereas people coming from the outside would just say, oh, it's all leather, it's all the same, but like there's nuances, I'm sure, that go on within that too.
Yeah, and Judas Priest wrote some really amazing songs like Hellbent for Leather, Breaking the Law, like lots of songs that I didn't know that they'd actually written. So if anyone's interested, they should go and check them out. And also they were one of the first bands to be prosecuted or sued because I can't remember what year it was, but two American teenagers, just look up the story. It's quite interesting, but they were sued for lyrics. They said that there were lyrics, subliminal messaging in their lyrics.
Oh, really?
And there weren't.
That's interesting.
And they did kind of get found innocent and all that sort of thing, but it's quite a fascinating story and it kind of changed the band for quite a long time.
That's interesting. And kind of also I don't know this story, but like I do know that there's always a lot of like panic around people that have this kind of like look. Everyone's like, oh, it can't be morally good for the children kind of energy going on there. So that's interesting.
So people should investigate that. And I know it's like New Zealand Music Week, so I thought we should play a song by one of my favorite New Zealand bands, Beastport.
Excellent. Which track have you picked for us today, Penelope Noir?
I've picked my favorite song, which is Witches.
Thank you very much, Penny. I've enjoyed this very much. Everyone get your leathers on today.
Yeah.
That is Beast Wars with Witches. Thank you very much, Penelope Noir, for bringing us a bit of metal fashion this morning.
That was Fashion with Penelope Noir.
We are the Goon Squad and we're coming to town. Beep, beep.
Beep, beep.